Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, welcome to your next episode with me, Amy.
And me, Louise.
So, Louise, we're trying not to wet our pants today, aren't we?
I know.
We're fangirling a little bit.
Super excited. Yeah, super excited.
Today, we're going to be speaking to Scummy Mummies. They're a duo, a comedy duo, Ellie and Helen.
We're just super excited, aren't we? Because they're so funny. And we've recorded it, haven't we? And that's coming up. It's really, really funny, isn't it?
We try and be cool, but also throw in funny one-liners at the same time.
Yeah.
coming up after this.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This week's guests are the Scummy Mummies, comedians Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne. Of course, you've heard of them. Their hilarious podcast has over 4 million downloads and is listened in 150 countries. And their stand-up comedy shows around the UK are always a sellout. The podcast started 7 years ago as a brutally honest account of parenting and has evolved now into also being an account of being women in their 40s. They have no shortage of really big name guests because they're absolutely adored and respected. So we're really, really honoured to have them on today. So welcome, Ellie and Helen.
Thanks.
Lovely intro. Thank you for having
us. I know. I thought, Ellie, who is she talking about? These women sound amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Mel and Sue.
That was like a Michael Aspel type intro,
well,
wasn't
you
it?
Know what a big fan I am. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, no, welcome. And, you know, when I sent that email to you, in which I think I put our numbers, and then I then discovered that you have over 4 million downloads. So I was like, oh, my, our little paltry numbers, they must have been sniggering at those. But
oh, we had a huge laugh behind your back, honestly. We pissed off for about an hour.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, this is the thing. Like, when we started podcasts, I mean, I think Ellie and I basically invented podcasting, didn't we, Ellie?
As far as I remember, yeah.
Yes, it was all sort of powered by horse and cart, etc., when we started 7.5 years ago. So, you know, if we got 2,000 downloads in a week, we were fucking Johnny Two Dicks. We were really excited about it.
Are we allowed to swear on this, by the way? I realise
yes,
we haven't.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think she would have invited us on if we've had a few incidences lately where we've had like clients who've wanted to sponsor the podcast and they're like, yes, we want to be involved with the Scummy Mummies, and then further down the line they listen to the podcast and they're like, oh no, it's too sweary and filthy. Yeah. They're dreadful.
Oh, really?
Women. Yeah.
Oh
yeah. They go, oh, we want to do a real honest portrayal of motherhood, and then they go, oh well, not that honest. That's too honest.
No.
Filthy smut.
The
audience will not appreciate that in any way. No. Will they? Because you never swear in real life when you're bringing up young children. Oh. I mean, that just doesn't happen.
No,
does it?
Absolutely. No, it doesn't make you want to go, for fuck's sake, every 5 minutes. No, motherhood's nothing like that.
You've touched on the fact that you set this podcast up like back in the day when nobody really knew what a podcast was. I mean, how did that all start? And did that come before the comedy?
We're pioneers, basically. Yeah. Yes, we are. We are the Emmeline Pankhurst of the podcasting generation in many ways, I like to say. So what happened was, it was after I had my first baby, I did a comedy course because that's a natural progression. Just to see what it'd be like. And at my third ever gig, I met Helen, who used to do comedy in Australia and then had taken a break to have kids and move over here and all of that. And anyway, surprisingly, we really got on. We haven't since. It's been very difficult. But that night, we really got on. And so we were doing open mic gigs together, not as a double act, but just as mates kind of thing. And we used to just make each other laugh all the time. And my background is like in video games and tech. So I'd done games podcasts before. And I thought, well, why don't we record ourselves, make each other laugh and put it on the internet? Because at that time, I will say this, at that time, there were parenting podcasts, but they weren't very many. They were all American, as I recall. Mm. And they were all about things like which car seat you should buy and, you know, your favourite muslin. And we were like, I that's not what I want to talk about now.
No,
So
because
we
it is a real backlash. Yeah, it's a real backlash, isn't it, against that. I'm imagining then, you know, and I think there still is, that expectation of women and mothers in particular to be really nice and polite and nurturing and literally loving every minute of mothering. Mm. And your podcast is a backlash, you know, against that, aren't there, isn't it?
We do love being mothers, but it's a really difficult job and it's hilarious and it's messy and it's confronting, both, you know, as for yourself individually, but then if you're in a couple, it's really confronting as well. And all that awkwardness and hard bits, you know, is a wonderful gift to comedy.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, you know, it's cathartic to be able to talk about things that you find hard, and it's cathartic about talking about things that are disgusting. I think this is the thing. It's like Ellie and I, when we met, we sort of thought, oh, well, I feel like this and she feels like this. Surely we're not alone. And it turns out we're not. It turns out there's, and you know, you mentioned, you know, it's listened to in 150 different countries. I think the experience of motherhood is universal, and like and all those sort of, you know, those shifts in your life, you know, is a really big thing to confront. So yeah, I think this is, it's good. And also, fuck it, you know, in the early days, it was a great excuse for Ellie and I to get pissed every fortnight at Ellie's house and go, oh no, we're working. So that was great.
Fantastic.
So I guess back then you were talking about like the changing nappies and discussing all the baby phases. And I guess as you've moved out of that phase, I guess your audience has come with you. And have you, I guess you're going to be making
material and content and chatting about the stuff that's happening with your kids now, or even just in your own lives? Is it grown from that?
Definitely, yeah. I think we don't really talk so much about things like childbirth and breastfeeding these days, partly because we've done podcasts about those subjects before, and also partly because it's just not what's of interest to us at the moment, to be honest. So if you want to hear us talk about that, those podcasts exist, but we want to talk
about
things now.
Go back into the vault if you want to. It's really good that you didn't back yourself into that corner of just being about, oh well, we're just about parenting. It's essentially about you too, isn't it? And the chemistry that you have, that's your brand to me.
Yeah, it's
struggling to make a relationship work, isn't it, Helen?
Every fucking day, Ellie.
Every
day is a struggle. No, it is. It's the Ellie and Helen show. It is a documentation of our lives, but also of the amazing people that we've met along the way and how we've evolved as women, as parents, as comedians, all that sort of thing. God, you listen back to some of those early episodes, and do you remember, Ellie, we're like, hello, we are the Scummy Mummies. Over to you now, Ellie. It's really funny. And that's like, oh, you fucking slag, stop going on Tinder. Yeah. Wear a condom, Helen. It's
the progress. Yeah. Yes. I love that. That's the program.
And a face mask, fuck's sake.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wash your fucking face and wash your fucking face mask.
It's interesting. I confess I have actually seen you guys live.
Why is that a confession?
Why is that a confession? Like it's a bad thing.
You're allowed to see us. Presumably you bought a ticket. Fuck me.
It wasn't a comp. It wasn't a comp situation. It was just a very, very drunken night, and it was a real escape from the drudgery of having young kids at that time, because I did, and I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. So are you now talking about your kids and the ages that they're at and what they're going through, or have you moved from that?
I think it's a mix now, because I think, you know, we have obviously connected with a huge amount of women because we're mothers, and you know, we still talk about World Book Day, and like Ellie did a really funny post about trying to quickly do a Christmas card in time and like submitting it when it was wet, so just the chaos and the mess and the endless fucking washing. I think that's important to talk about, because I think that's connection, and the fact we give our children fish fingers and chicken nuggets on most nights of the week. But also I think we in terms of the show, in terms of the live comedy, we talk a lot more about relationships and being women and our bodies changing and all that sort of stuff, and that I find really satisfying. We're not doing jokes about nappy changing anymore, and you can only write comedy about what you know. And also, I just remember in February this year, Ellie and I were driving around the van going, geez, it's really hard to write comedy at the moment, because everything's kind of going well and we've sold out our tour. 2020's great. Oh my God, and we're both married and we're both happy, and then
oh God, that would be the bit in the movie where the soundtrack changes slightly,
and then the car comes to a screech, and then you go fuck, and then March happened, so that was
and the narrator is like, little did they know that everything is about to get completely fucked.
But
someone else, the funny thing as well, so one of our favourite guests, Steph Douglas, also known as Steph Don't Buy Her Flowers, we've had her on a few times, and the last, she wrote to me a couple of weeks ago, because the last time she was on, which was it early this year, Helen? I can't remember, it was before all the shit kicked off anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a bit in that podcast where, that's right, it must have been at the end of last year, because she's like, what are your sort of goals for 2020? And I was like, oh, do you know what? I like being on tour. It's really good being out and about and working hard. But I'd really like to be at home more. I'd like to spend a bit more time at home.
Oh, God. And the universe answered.
It turns out I'm a witch. I'm an actual sorcerer. So that's... well done, me. Well done.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
But you were able to... You know, I found your stories and things very comforting during lockdown. It was, because you kept... You know, you did keep sort of doing those. And, people want a friend in their ear and a peer who can like inform them and help them and feel their way through stuff that's dark, and that sense of a shared experience as well, which you do really well on on Instagram. Your Instagram feed your stories, you know, for example, really do that connectivity. Do you, presumably, you get a lot of people getting in touch to let you know how much you're helping them? Is that something you're really proud of? I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I really love about what we do, is when we connect with women, you know, both in the UK and across the world, and when people go, oh, fuck, thank you for posting your shitty house, Helen, because that makes me feel better about my shitty house. I think just that connection, and Ellie's stories with her dad and Ellie's stories with her husband, I think our best work. I will take claim and say our work. Ellie is so fucking good at that, and she's smart and sarcastic, but she's really good at nailing that relationship and all that sort of thing. So I think those, and I actually think now that I've become a single parent, that is an actual win and a strength, because we are now connecting with a much broader audience. And like one in four mothers are single mothers. And so that's 25% of our audience that we can kind of connect to now. But also I feel talking about what it's like to be a single mother is good for mothers in couples who get a window into what it's like when you're the only one, you're the double parent, as someone said, like when you're doing
because in your stories you were, you know, you've talked about, you know, that you have to like suddenly do everything all of, you know, there's no sharing of the
of the load.
A child's sick in the night, you are there, no one else is helping you, or you go, fuck, there's no ham for tomorrow, all right, kids, at 7 o'clock at night in the dark when it's raining,
we've all got to go
to the supermarket together. So I think and that's something that if you're in a married couple you wouldn't necessarily think about, and you know, just check in with your single parent friends and that sort of stuff. But on the same time, on the weekend, I have a toy myself, so you know,
we all live vicariously through you.
I wish
we were snogging somebody else, you know.
But that sort of transition, though, is something that I think you've picked up on really well. That transition is really hard. So transition into parenthood, and then into single parenthood. Transition into your 40s, you know, and you're absolutely in control of your material. You say what you want, how you want to say it. But all of that stuff, as you say, the difficult stuff is the stuff that probably gives you the most material. And your audience really love you for it, I think, as well. You know, they really do.
Well, that's lovely. I hope so. Because we don't, you know, we don't kind of ever sit down and strategize, you know, what kind of content we're going to put out. We don't have a meeting about, right, this week you need to talk about being single. And I'll go for three runs and talk about that.
It doesn't feel contrived at all. It's very, very organic.
And I think
it feels disorganised because it's fucking lazy, mate.
That's our brand.
We don't know how to be anyone else but ourselves. And we've never set out to educate or inform. It's always just been to entertain. And so it's lovely when people write and say, oh, I didn't know this, or you've helped me with this, because we go, oh, blimey, there we go. And then we feel like Nelson Mandela for the day. So it's good.
Yes. Oh. And do you feel more confident now that you're in your 40s? Has that changed? Have you developed more of a sense of freedom? Because as people go into their 40s, women in particular often say that they get that sort of like literally not giving a fuck about anything or worrying at all. Has that changed for you at all going into your 40s? Or have you always been fairly like that anyway?
I would say it's been a massive sort of change for me, because I've always been a show off, but there's lots of things that I've lacked confidence about. And I think, you know, I think being 40, but also being in the Scummy Mummies, and Ellie has been an amazing influence in terms of, like, there's so many things where I'd be worried about, and she's like, who gives a fuck, Helen, just do it. And so I would say or she's
you
like
know, doing drugs or like, you know, stealing things from shops, things like that.
Just do it. Stop being so wet. Just do it.
Come on. I can get on with it.
You've got each other, haven't you?
Yeah.
As well, for everything that you so, you know. But can we just discuss getting into dating in your 40s, Helen? Because you've become single this year.
Yeah.
And my understanding is, you know, it's been a long time since you've dated, and I'm assuming that things have changed enormously, you know, within the dating landscape. You know, there's you know, apps, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, you know, a whole, and a whole different etiquette, you know.
And that's just three of the guys she's seeing.
Is it?
Yeah. We haven't mentioned Fabio yet. Yeah.
Is it, Dave Hinge, just, Tommy Bumble, and Ian Tinder, isn't it? Ian Tinder?
Yeah. Ian Tinder. And his brother David Tinder. I'm seeing two Tinder at the moment.
Is it like, you know, like shopping online or like on demand for a hookup? Yeah. Are you bombarded with dick pics? That's what I want to know. Or is it more nuanced than that? I mean, is it, I've
She's
got so
salivating
many,
here,
so many
girl.
Questions
She's
I've got.
Salivating
okay.
Question.
Online dating 101. Right, it is incredibly easy to put a photo of yourself on a dating app and then you'd be surprised how many men want to have sex with you. As Ellie said, do you have a vagina? Yes, let's have sex.
Is that a confidence booster then? Does that boost your confidence a bit?
I have got a vagina. Yes, it's really
we are compatible. Yes. Yeah, I think in the early messy months when you don't know who you are, you don't know what's going on, like the dating apps are a delicious distraction because you have gone from being someone and someone's to on your own. And like, I haven't dated for 22 years. And so to be desired and for you know, a hot young Italian who's 29 to say, hey, sexy lady, I'd be like, yeah, I'm all for this. So I think,
you know, if they're speaking in that accent, they're not really Italian. You do know that.
No, I don't care. Shh, don't talk, Fabio. Just feel your way. I think it's incredibly empowering. It's incredibly liberating. But as I've spoken to like psychologists and things about like that, you need to know your boundaries. You need to know your limits. You need to feel confident about what you want and say what you need, etc. And I found that very liberating. Like, there was a time where I was texting a man and I said, look, this is what I like. And he said, this is what I like. He said, like, I'm a dad. I've only got 3 hours. And then he popped over for 3 hours and we did what we said we were going to do. And then he went home.
Excellent.
And it was very nice. I had a lovely time.
That's efficiency.
Yes. So, but in terms of dick pics,
when you said no, but can I just say, if a man said to me, oh, I've only got 3 hours, I'd be like, right, okay, fair enough. Yeah, have the sex. Then I've got a couple of shelves I need putting up. There's a thing in the shed I can't reach. If you could just get that for me, maybe mow the lawn quickly, and that should take up the rest of the 2 hours and 48 minutes.
Excellent. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's you know, and I'm having a little break from the apps at the moment for all sorts of reasons. But I'm enjoying the process of it, and also I'm not in any hurry to be in a relationship. So having these experiences are great. And look, and some people, yes, have sent me dick pics and all that sort of stuff. But the person I'm seeing at the moment doesn't send me dick pics. He sends me pictures of the food that he makes. And do you know what? I find that more erotic. He's sending me pictures of like cinnamon swirls that he's been making and things like that. And I'm like, wow. Do you know what? That's what I like. That's what I need right now. Or he'll send me, you know, music that he likes or whatever. And so there's sort of nicer, gentler exchanges that actually are actually kinder and more actually satisfying when you go, oh, I like that song or whatever. And so, and you know, and those sort of things. So I think that's great, but it can get incredibly addictive, and you can use them in the wrong way. You can spend hours just sort of scrolling through wanting to be wanted. And so you've got to kind of, but you know, I've had some lovely dates with some lovely men and I've had a lovely time.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, good.
So I feel great about it. But you've got to know when it's too much and when you can have a break from it. And also, masturbation is a wonderful thing. And so, you know, all that sort of self-pleasure and all that sort of shit is great. Yeah. So anyway, la, la, la. Yeah.
Can I also ask, though, is it a problem with, like, because you're really well known? I mean, you know, what has that been an issue with dating? Do you have much of a male audience?
No one knows who I am. No one, but they can Google me very quickly. So, and also I think it's more of a testament to the blokes. If they see, like, there's literally thousands of photos of me on the internet looking shit and, you know, and messy and if they're cool with that, then I'm kind of cool with them, because most of them go, no, I think it's really cool that you're a badass and empowered and I can see what you're doing for women. And then I kind of think, well, no, you're all right. If you can sort of, if you're cool with that and you can see that I'm a pretty cool lady. So I think that's kind of a test in a way.
Yeah. And I imagine that anyone who then goes and goes, oh, I'll go and listen to her podcast is probably going to fall, you know,
madly in love.
Madly in love. because you know, like, do you offend men, do you think? Or do you have any idea what men think of your podcast, of your... Do they come to your live shows? I mean...
No, I
they do. They do something.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought you meant the people I was sleeping with.
No, I mean...
No, anyway,
all of them.
Carry on. Men in general. Ellie, you answer this bit.
I thought you mentioned that. I thought you did mean the people she's been sleeping with as well, but I've actually been sleeping with a lot of the same people, so I can speak for that. Is someone opening up Cadbury's selection box? What is that noise?
Oh, sorry. No, I was just eating some chocolate.
We're doing a podcast.
I'm
speaking.
I'm talking.
I was just really hungry.
Helen, let me explain to you how podcasts work. The microphone doesn't automatically turn on and off according to whether or not you are speaking. It keeps recording. That's how that works.
We've
only done 191 episodes. I should have explained it before. You're quite right. If I may continue.
Yeah.
And how did I know it would be chocolate? There we go. So we do have, we usually have maybe 2 to 5 men at each of our shows. So not a huge percentage, but do you know what? We've had some really lovely moments. Sometimes I have a bit of banter with them and often they're hilarious and they get into it very quickly. And a lot of them have come up to us after the show saying, do you know what? I wasn't sure what this was going to be, or I was a bit nervous when I walked in and saw it was all women, or, you know, but I loved it and it was so funny. And a lot of men say, I think you've just expressed every thought my wife has ever had in her head. I'm like, well, you're welcome. So we totally say to men, you're very welcome at the shows and we won't bite you. Apparently it's a good laugh.
Good. And you have men on your podcast, don't you, as well? So,
oh, yeah, totally.
I mean, blokes should be, listening.
They should be represented, shouldn't they? Especially the white middle-class ones. Yeah. They just don't get enough representation.
Oh, my God. It's time they had a voice. It's time. It's their time.
This is their moment.
Yeah. This is their moment. That's what I'm saying to you.
We were just talking. I'm thinking back to that open mic night where you guys met and just serendipity. And I'm so glad that just sparked something. And we talk a lot about friendship on this podcast and, you know, healthy friendships and sort of working together, being best of friends. I mean, does that come very naturally? I mean, is it ever hard work? You seem like you could get through any passive aggressive problem by just being hilarious. But like, do you have time apart sort of actively, or does it all come very naturally?
It's a daily struggle.
Yeah, I mean, thank God for lockdown. That's all I'm saying.
No, you bubbled with each other, didn't you?
Yeah. And of course. And I think, you know, that we are many things to each other in terms of friends, you know, business associates, all the things. And we have boys who are 11, who were born 11 days apart, and they're friends and all that sort of stuff. And we've been on holidays together and all those lovely things. But yeah, I think it's a different relationship, like a comedy partner relationship. And there's been lots written about it. It's a really amazing thing. But also we're both ambitious and we both, you know, want to work well. And ultimately our friendship and everything is based on liking each other. But also there's money involved now, you know, as well.
Yeah.
But ultimately I just want to be Ellie's friend. Like, that's the greatest gift that's come out of this. And money.
We spend after money.
Money's been great. Yeah.
Also, I got a free pair of trainers that I really like. But apart from that, I don't. We do spend especially before the dark times, we spend so much time together. I think you have to really get on and really like each other to, you know, and we do have differences in our personalities, but we also have loads in common. Like we both love eating. That is a huge part of our relationship. We love pubs and restaurants and drinking and ham. And that's definitely, we've always got that. But yeah.
Did you used to go away like as families together on holidays and stuff? Did you ever do that?
We didn't know each other before we had kids. Before we started the comedy either, did we, H?
No, the comedy sort of came first. And then we've gone on holidays when we've had to work. So like when we went to, like on festivals and things like that. But also, you know, August was traditionally the month that we used to have off. And so I think, you know, we spent a lot of time together. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, our husbands were polite to each other, but they weren't really best friends either. So, you know, and we've both got other friends outside, obviously. I think that's it.
Yeah, before, in the before times kind of thing, going on holiday with Helen's family would mean going on holiday with Helen's husband. And let's just say, I don't want to speak for Helen, I'm only speaking for myself here, but let's just say I look forward to many more holidays with Helen in the future. I'd like to do it more often. Let's just say that.
Our kids get along really well. We went away for a weekend in Kent a couple of months ago, and my kids still speak about it often. They're like, when can we go on holiday with Ellie and Charlie and Pete and Joe again? And we sang in the van together. We were having a great time. And it's you know, that's a lovely thing to come of that as well, is that the kids get along really well and that sort of stuff. But it has, you know, I couldn't imagine. We always use, when we're like gorging on our four-course meals at the pub, we're like, imagine being in a double act with somebody who didn't like eating, or you know, it wouldn't. There's so many elements that make it work, because you have
bonding over a pub lunch is definitely one of them, isn't it?
Too right, absolutely.
Fantastic. But you do have separate projects as well, don't you? So Ellie, you're a games journalist, is that right? And you have a podcast called Extra Life with Keza McDonald, who's the Guardian's video games editor, interviewing funny and interesting people about gaming. Now, I say that sort of incredulously because I'm not a gamer at all, but in the name of research, I had a listen and I liked it. I'll let you explain the concept.
No, say more things about why you like it. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Miranda Sawyer said some lovely things about it the other day, didn't she, Ellie, in The Guardian?
She did.
Ah, okay. So, you know, well, it was funny, interesting. I listened to the one with Tony Way,
the actor. Yeah.
That's it. Yes, yeah. And it was just like really, really nice chat and funny. I mean, obviously you're all funny people.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That's the goal with it.
So why should people listen?
Yeah, so it's called Extra Life because obviously there's a games sort of gag in there, but also because it's about, in video games, it's about how video games sort of apply to your life and your life experiences. So a bit like Scummy Mummies that we were talking about earlier, like, and ostensibly it's a parenting podcast, but it's not really. It's about lots of aspects of life and some of it is relevant to our kids and family, some of it's not. It's a bit like that with this podcast. It's meant to be me and Keza, who, and also Keza and I are great friends and have known each other for over a decade and a half, I think.
Yeah,
so we have a dynamic. Yeah. We have a dynamic there, and it's about us, talking to funny people about games. And that's one of the nicest pieces of feedback we've had from a lot of people, is that it's not about being an expert or even a gamer. If you don't know about games, hopefully you can still get something from the jokes and also people talking about their life and their because we have humanity in common. And also, do you know what? Most people have played Mario Kart or Sonic or something at some point anyway. So the chances are there'll be something in there that will resonate, hopefully. That's the plan.
Mm. Yeah.
I do find with a lot of these podcasts, really, no matter what the subject is, if you've got people on it who are passionate and have a connection with each other and there's a dynamic there, a lot of stuff is very listenable to, isn't it? Even if it's not in your field of interest.
Yeah. I'll take listenable. Listen, that's the highest I'm aiming for. Listenable is absolutely fine. Doesn't even need to be enjoyable. Just needs to be listenable.
Just tolerable.
Yeah.
Just tolerable.
Bearable.
This is a bearable podcast.
Audible.
And Helen, let's talk about your project. Let's talk about your issues.
Your issues,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about you.
How long have you fucking got? Jesus Christ. We'll be here all day.
The next 4 hours.
Yeah, honestly. I've got so many fucking issues. Yes.
So your podcast, Fat Lot of Good, and your own Instagram sort of account, Helen Wears a Size 18. When did you start those, and what led you to starting those platforms?
The Helen Wears a Size 18 Instagram account came out of, I was writing an article for the Metro newspaper about how lots of big brands don't have a size 18. They go up to a size 16. And so I sort of did a feature double page spread, so to speak, for the Metro, sort of questioning why places like Reese and lots of other sort of major high street brands, when I have money, you know, my fat ass would like to spend some money in these shops. And when I was talking to the editor of Metro, she said, oh, well, it should be like you should have something to come out of this, article. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll start this Instagram account. But I had posted a few things on Scummy Mummies about body confidence and, you know, wearing a bikini, being a size 18. And those sort of posts had resonated with a particular community from the Scummy Mummies. And I thought, actually, what I'm saying is quite sincere. It's not very funny. So maybe take that into a different space where I can kind of talk to that particular audience. And so that's what I did. And then off the back of that, I decided to do a series. It's like a 20 episode series of a podcast called Fat Lot of Good. And I interviewed people about their relationships with their bodies. And I interviewed, you know, men, young people, older people, all sorts in it. And, you know, there was lots of lols, but also some pretty hard things about people, the way people feel about clothes and their sex and the way they feel naked, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think that for me, that's been a really fun project, but it does feed back into Scummy Mummies. Like some of the things that I'll do in that, I go, oh, actually that make a really good sketch or whatever. But it's just sort of a separate place where I can be slightly a bit more sincere, and I don't feel like, you know, and I can just talk about my experience as a woman. So yeah, so that's been great, and I've really enjoyed that. And it's, you know, I don't make much money from it, but it's a really fulfilling kind of project. So
Will there be another season of that, Helen?
Yeah, I think so, next year when I've got a bit more time. And yeah, so I've got a few people lined up that I want to interview. So yeah, I might do another 10 episodes or whatever. And that's just something I do with a independent producer, and I self-fund it. So yeah, so that's it's great.
How have you guys found doing the podcast remotely?
We haven't.
We haven't.
Oh, you've not.
No, we have not. No.
The thing with ours is we've always done it in person. And one of the things people say they like about it is that it feels like sitting around a kitchen table having a bottle of wine with friends. And we wanted to try and preserve that. So when we knew the second lockdown was coming, we kind of got a load in the bank kind of thing. And we've just done stuff like that. And that's no judgment on our other podcast. So I'm aware I'm currently remotely recording one.
It's a bit awkward, actually.
what we're saying is we think those people are lazy. They didn't plan ahead. And their output is going to suffer. The quality is going to suffer. That's our house style, and that's how we kind of like to do it. So, and also, yeah, I am quite lazy, and I'm the technical person, so I'm in charge of all the editing and the recording and the sound quality and all of that. And I can't be fucked to work out how clean feed works. That's like, that will take a whole afternoon.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Just make people come round my house.
Yeah. With our remote recording, what we want to go for is for everyone just to feel a bit detached and like they're not really, like there's no sort of continuity or smooth flowing. That's what you were going for.
Well, let me tell you, you're achieving it. You're doing really well there, guys. You're doing really well. Well done.
So going forward, the Scummy Mummies podcast will go from strength to strength, no doubt, you know. And at some point, are we likely to be treated to Scummy Grannies? I mean, are you going to be going for a long time?
I hope so. Like I look up to people like French and Saunders, who of course, you know, have done separate projects, but they're always back together again. And I can't imagine not having Ellie in my life and not doing this. So yeah, I think that's it. But also, I think what's really lovely about, you know, people who come to our show saying, oh, I've listened to you since the beginning, they're sort of invested in us as friends, and they you know, we're not staying the same. We both are evolving. And what I like, and I hope this is okay, Ellie, I think it's really nice that both of us are revealing a bit more of our truer selves. Like the other day, Ellie did a thing about her very neat knickers drawer, and I love that about that. And I think I think the older that we get and the more we have a mutual trust in our audience, that we can be a little bit more vulnerable with them. And I think people really appreciate that. Like, they know that I'm a they know that my house is a fucking shit pit. And they know that I'm a bit of a disaster. But also I like it when Ellie embraces her alphabetized spice drawer. So I think that's good. I think that we don't have to. Yeah, and I don't think we don't have to say, oh, everything's a disaster. And like, I've been sharing some of my, like, I'm trying to teach myself how to play the piano better. Which is really unscummy, but also so many people have said, oh, that made me sit down and play the piano, or some music teachers going, no, this is really lovely. So I think there's a bit of a trust in sort of being a bit more honest, and I think people kind of appreciate that.
Oh God, absolutely. Can I just also touch on, I know we're keeping you, won't keep you much longer, but you ran a half marathon earlier this year, Helen.
Yeah.
And Ellie, you were going to do the London Marathon this year, but you had knee injury, so you're doing it next year. Yeah. Now, that doesn't feel like a very scummy mummies thing.
I actually ran several half marathons, but that's fine. Let's just talk about Helen.
I didn't know that. She ran for the London Marathon.
No. I just banged on and about a bit more. No, Ellie ran a half marathon, I think, in about, what, it was 2 hours and 20 minutes, and I did it in two hours.
Sorry.
I did it in two hours and 50 minutes. But yeah, no, Ellie's very fast and very good. I'm just saying.
Have you always enjoyed running,
thank
though?
You.
Was that something in your 30s, or have you just
I did do it a bit before I had kids. Yeah, I did.
Right.
I did, but only like couch to 5K and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then when Bryony Gordon, and lovely Bryony got in touch and said, would we like to do the marathon? Then yeah, I got really, really into it, and I got really far, and I was like running up to 20 miles before the marathon, and then of course it was cancelled.
Wow.
And then my knees went, so yeah, I've had to start again from scratch doing the couch to 5k. And yeah, last time I didn't want to show off about it, like we were talking about, I didn't want to show off too much about it because running can be a bit smug and a bit blah blah blah, but actually this time I've gone, do you know what, I'm just going to document this couch to 5k thing, if anything just to as an accountability thing, because it'll make me do it, you know. And I've been astonished, honestly, and all these people have written to us and gone, no, we like the running videos, and like loads of people said, oh, you've inspired me, and I'm gonna start doing it. There's a woman saying she's starting next week because of a video I did today and stuff like that. So what I'm saying is, I am the Michelle Obama of Catford, is what I'm saying to you. I'm an inspiration.
I've always said that, Ellie. I've always said that.
You've always said that.
But also, you know, I like that Ellie's being more vulnerable. Like, I think that we have to, you know, we can trust our audience and trust ourselves that there is there's that connection. And I think that's hard. And people love the videos, as I was saying earlier, about Ellie and her husband as well. That's it's cool for us both to represent Ellie being in a relationship and me being on my own. Like, I think that's really good as well. And I think that's the strength in having two people running one Instagram account, is that like people will find they're not going to connect with everything that we do, but they'll connect with one of us all the time.
And I think that's to do with as well, that wasn't like I sat down one day and was like, I know, I'm going to be more vulnerable. It was like, I think.
I love that meeting, Ellie. That vulnerability Zoom we did was amazing.
Yeah. My husband was over the moon. It's more like a couple of things have happened. One thing is this, that Scummy Mummies is more established now and more people do know who we are. And we kind of feel there's a sort of safe foundation there. But also I think when we started Scummy Mummies and we got a lot of attention, a lot of people saying, oh, this is a real antidote to this perfect vision of motherhood. And, oh, this is fresh and this is different and this is new. And also my kids were younger, so life was more chaotic and messier and stuff. And now I think my life has changed. My life is a bit less chaotic now, both my kids at school and stuff. But also I think the general temperament has changed, the mood has changed, and now it is more about self-care, as people like to say, and people understanding that as women, it's not either or. You don't have to be super uptight and yummy mummy, but nor do you have to be completely 24 hours a day, shambolic, never doing any exercise, scummy mummy.
No.
We're all, as women, as humans, we're all complex characters who like different things
and
are different
we?
Things
exactly,
at different times. Exactly.
Yeah.
And this morning I went for a run at 7 a.m, but I chanced it, I'll be on the safe route in Quality Street by 4:30. That's life. You know, that's where we are.
I know. I went for a walk and round Peckham Rye, and then I went and got a cheese and tomato croissant and came home and smoked a fag in the garden. I could.
And that is balance.
Our friend,
That's very French. No, that's nice. So,
oh, I know.
Very French.
Merci beaucoup. But yeah, I was like, oh, I could do a story about that. But I thought, no, everyone's just been championing Ellie doing running. I don't think you need to see me eating my cheesy croissant with my fag.
That's what I think people, I think you should, honestly, because that's, I think that's what people like. They like seeing that we're not portraying one image all the time.
No.
Because that's not who we are.
No,
Louise, I think we're sitting in on one of their meetings. You know, like the
vulnerability
strategy.
Zooms. Yes.
This is a vulnerability strategy. I am just imagining as we're talking about this. I know, obviously, your stuff is not contrived in any way. I don't think you even. Mm. I think you just shoot from the hip, but almost like a comedy sketch where maybe you'd have like two influencers who claim not to be really contrived but actually are planning every single strategic move, like
that's going to be our award-winning television show, I think. Thank you very much. We'll take that idea.
What's happening about your television show?
Well, if you could just kill all male TV executives and replace them with
it was too womanly or something, wasn't
too,
it?
Too famously, we had this thing where we had some interest from a channel, and then they came and saw the show, and it was sold out, and it was amazing, and we got a standing ovation, and there were three men who had to say yes, a bit like the X Factor, and one of them thought it was great, and one of the other ones said, although we have a women's channel, we're worried your show might alienate a male audience. So,
we don't want to alienate these men. Though,
do you have to go to the door, Ellie? Is that a knock at the door?
Yeah, sorry, I'll be right back.
It's all right. It's all right.
While she's away, she yelled at me for eating chocolate, and now she's just fucked off to the front door. I just want to have my word here.
It's those jumpers you ordered by mistake.
Oh, okay. So many fucking jumpers.
We're both at fault.
Okay. So, Ellie, while you were talking, actually, thank you for mentioning it, ran the London Half Marathon on the 1st of March, and then I found out my marriage was over on the 4th of March, so I stopped running on that day. So I haven't charged my running watch since that day, but I decided to charge it right now. And it's really funny that it's got London Marathon minus 72 days ago, because I had, which is not correct anyway, but I decided that actually Ellie has influenced me to, because we're both running the London Marathon next October. Is that right, Ellie?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is October, isn't it?
Yeah. So I have been influenced by my comedy wife to get back into running. But it was sort of a symbolic thing. It's like I kind of, you know, when I went into the tailspin of finding out about my separation, I just thought I can't run, and I got really into smoking and drinking and sitting down and crying.
Well, so, and lockdown as well. I mean, you know, the whole. Yeah. Would you know, I thought I was going to, when I heard about lockdown, I thought I'm going to emerge from this like a butterfly.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I thought to myself, I'm going to use this time. Mm. And I didn't. I just sat on my arse and, did all the things I shouldn't be doing. Mm. You know,
I just love what you said there, Helen, about really getting into smoking and drinking. Maybe there could be an app for like how many cigarettes can you actually smoke today, like a target.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like how many steps you've done. Like,
I think it should just be called couch to couch. Yes.
Couch to floor.
Couch to 50 a day.
Couch to 50 a day.
Couch to 5 pounds.
Thank Helen, I'm writing that down.
Go. That's all right. We could have an app chat in the next show. But yeah, I think that's it. And Ellie and I have both talked about how we've responded to, how we both naturally respond to crisis. And it's that I retreat under a duvet and Ellie makes lists.
Learn Italian. Yeah.
Yeah. Three times a week. Yep. And eat chocolate during podcast recordings. I think that's good. But again, that's what balances us out, is that, you know, we both have different responses. And I said this on a podcast the other day, is that you can't have two racehorses in a pen. You've got to have a racehorse and a donkey.
For the full quote, I believe, Helen, was you said you can't have two racehorses because they'll kick each other to death.
That's right. That is exactly right. Exactly right. It's a quote. It's a quote from Ab Fab. So yes, what I'm saying is Ellie is Patsy and I am Adina.
Even though you smoke more, ironically, but I'll take that.
You did have your time there, Ellie Gibson. We all know that.
Oh, I had my time. Yeah. I definitely.
So if anyone's listening and would like to see
if anyone's listening and wants to take up smoking, please get in touch with Helen.
Get in touch with Helen.
Oh God, that'd be brilliant. She's doing a mentoring course, really getting into smoking in a serious way.
Couch to 50 a day. Yeah, sure. She's got whole tutorials on what equipment you need, where to get a nice ashtray.
That's right. First episode, trip to Marlborough country. Yeah. So.
Matches or lighters. And there's like you looking quizzical, holding them up, one in each hand.
Oh, my God. Again, write that down. Write that down. It's me.
Write it down.
This is brainstorming with the Scummy Mummies.
I know. It's so funny. Yeah, you're not having a percentage. We own this content.
Yeah, this is it.
Is there tickets still left for your show at the Clapham Grand on the 10th of December?
I believe so, yes. Quick, buy those tickets. The ticket link is on scummymummies.com, but also you can go to the Clapham Grand, click through, 10th of October, and it's all socially distanced, very safe, isn't it, Ellie?
Yeah.
It's a brilliant venue. All the measures that they've taken for this to happen is just incredible.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
Any other gigs coming up?
Cirencester on the 8th of December, and then we've got shows are all sort of kicking off basically from January. We start, I think we've got three nights at the Royal Theatre in Winchester.
Mm. Yes, I think that's nearly sold out as well, isn't it? So yeah, we've got Finchley as well in January, and Worcester, or maybe Worcester's not happening, not sure. But then Leatherhead in February, hopefully back to Clapham, maybe Chipping Norton. And then really from March, we've got Sevenoaks, Maidstone, Barnsley, Ulverston, Sutton Coldfield, Harlow, Newbury, Bath. I mean, yeah, so it's really kicking off.
Fantastic. And are you going to be back at the Edinburgh Fringe next year? Is that happening?
Who knows?
Basically,
I'm hoping to have had all three vaccines by then. Assuming that happens, why not? I don't know. Who knows? They don't know what's going on with it. So we can't presume.
No, and Edinburgh last year was absolutely phenomenal, but it is a big ask. It's a month away from our children because it's fun like that. But we'll see. But it was an amazing experience. But yeah, I guess we'll just see how these things go. But yes, God bless all three vaccines.
Thank you so much for joining us, Helen and Ellie. It's been hilarious. I'm sure that people will be frantically finding you online as we speak.
If they haven't, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
We've got a shop as well, scummymummieshop.com. We've got new Christmas products.
Merch.
Is amazing.
We've got really fun Christmas products coming out. We've got like an apron with Christmas puddings for tits. I mean, that's funny.
Oh, it is really funny.
We've got some jumpers, like bra humbug about not wearing a bra. I mean, we laughed when we came up with
this. Hysterical. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hopefully those jumpers arrived, Ellie. They are the jumpers that we're going to take some photos of.
Oh, are these the Christmas ones?
Oh, yeah, open them up. Open it up.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's great.
Big reveal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, these are worth... We're not charging enough for these.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
So thank you so much. Thank
Brilliant.
You very much.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you. Thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you. Have a lovely Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.